Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Feed Your Faith. I am your host, Courtney Kopeck, and today's episode, I am talking about patterns. This like randomly came to me. I was talking to a client and we kind of like just fell upon the fact that she has a pattern of binge eating. And I remember back when I was, you know, really in like the thick of my eating issues, the patterns that I followed, I was very strict about them. I really held on to them very tightly because they were kind of like a security blanket for me. And so I want to talk today kind of about what Jesus says about patterns and what the Bible has to say about patterns and like what our own sort of feelings are about our patterns and why we hold on to them and ways that we can learn to let go of them so that we can be more free to follow Jesus, who really is the ultimate pattern. He's like the only pattern. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm super excited about it. It's pretty interesting. But before we get into all that, I've just got a few quick announcements and then we'll start the podcast.
Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to CourtneyKopeck.com/sign-up for free devotional. That's CourtneyKopeck.com/sign-up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast.
So let's talk about patterns. Patterns are such a big part of eating. I mean, just eating in itself is a pattern, right? Like technically you're supposed to eat 3 times a day. That's a pattern. Breakfast every morning, pattern. Lunch, pattern. Dinner, pattern. Snack at 4. Sometimes it's just like a coffee, pattern. We find safety in patterns. We find security in patterns. Patterns are habit, you know? So to have them is important. But what do you do when they're negative patterns? What do you do? Like, for instance, this particular client that I have, she has a pattern of binging every 3 days. And I remember being like that. I remember it was like, for me, it was like every 4. Sometimes it'd be every 5. It was especially when I was doing one of my specific diets at the time, like some keto diet, low carb. I could make it like 5 days without any of the crackers and bread and things like that in my house. And then by the 5th day, it was just like insane. I would just go to town on the bag of pretzels and the tortilla chips and whatever else I could get my hands on. And then the next morning I would wake up and I'd be like, okay, back to low carb. And of course, like any of you who've ever done a low carb diet know that you get really tired when you first stop eating carbs. So it takes time for your body to adjust to surviving off just burning fat for energy. And so when you mess around like that with your body and never really give it a chance to get used to burning the fat for energy, you're always tired. So I was always tired. I was always grouchy, and I could never move beyond this pattern. It just was what happened. On day five, my body knew this is what was going to happen. It was time for the crackers and things like that. It became a pattern for me. And this is what happens when we start doing certain actions and we do them continually at the same time. Our body begins to take that in. It remembers it and it knows, like, the body is basically a working clock. So it knows, for my particular client, let's say that by day three, it's time for her to binge. And so even if she has been doing all the exercises of things that we've gone over to help prevent the binge, and to work through getting out of this negative pattern, the mind is so powerful that it doesn't quite grasp why we're not engaging in the pattern. And its job is to make us jump right in. Its job is to make us follow through on the pattern, because that is what it knows. And so that is what it believes is the right thing to do, is what needs to happen, even if it's a negative thing. So for those of you who find yourself like binging at night or binging on the weekends, this can be a pattern. So many people battle with the whole binging at nighttime. And a huge part of that is just because you're slowing down. Your day is not taken up anymore with all the activities that you have to get done. You're in your own home. You're in a safe place. And so it's very easy to just unwind with food. You know, the body knows that it's time to slow down. It's time to rest. It's time to comfort itself. Nighttime is the time to comfort. This is what the body knows. And so if you've been using food as a way of comfort, as a way of winding down, this is what the body is expecting to happen. It's the same thing with the weekends. If you find yourself in your house, it's a safe place. Especially if you're someone who doesn't live with other people, you don't have to worry about particularly hiding your binge from anybody. These are all things that your body knows, your brain recognizes. And so it's like, oh, we're home on the weekend, let's eat. These are all patterns that need to be broken. So the next question is, how do we break these patterns? And what does God have to say about patterns? I find this kind of interesting, because what came to me when I decided to do this podcast, it was that scripture where God is telling Moses on how to build the tabernacle. Was it Moses? Wait a minute. Hold on. I have to figure out who it was. I might be wrong about this, and I don't want to get this wrong. Yes. Okay. It is Moses. Phew. Got that right. So I'm just going to paraphrase here, but God basically says to Moses when he's building the tabernacle, you need to do this exactly according to the pattern that I give you. He was very specific with Moses. I have a pattern. You need to follow it to a T. This tabernacle needs to be built exactly as how I say. Don't go to the left or to the right. Just stay on course with the pattern that I give you to follow. Now, I have to wonder, like, if Moses had his own plans, his own ideas, if he was like, no, why don't we make this, you know, room a little bit bigger? Maybe we should add a column over here. I mean, I don't know, because I know with me, like, if God came to me and he told me I had to build something, and then thank God gave me the ability to build it, because let me tell you, I can't build anything. If he gave me the ability to build something and gave me a pattern that I had to follow. I really have to wonder if I would follow it specifically or if I wouldn't feel the need to give my own two cents on ideas that I had about it. You know, especially like designing it or something like that, or decorating it. I don't know. The reason why I'm bringing that up is just because it's like, was that easy for Moses to follow the pattern, or was it a challenge? You know, was he scared? Was he like, oh my gosh, if I don't get this right, you know, is God going to kill me? The Old Testament's really interesting like that, because God is so specific about so many things. You know, he's like, you can eat this meat, you can't eat that meat, you have to sacrifice animals this way, you can't do it that way. You know, everything was by a law. He had a lot of rules, and everything needed to be done a very specific way, a very specific pattern. But then when Jesus came along, the pattern was broken. The need for a pattern was removed. And this is what I find kind of interesting. I came across this scripture in Hebrews 10, 1, and it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all, and of all their sins. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to you to do your will, O God. So in other words, what he's saying is that God wasn't pleased enough with the you know, the animals. It wasn't working. It was always meant that Jesus would come and be the ultimate sacrifice for us. And what it's also saying is that our human sacrifices are not going to get us closer to perfection. No matter what we're doing day after day, year after year, in order to feel more perfected in our lives, which is basically just saying more in control of things, that's not drawing us nearer to God. The only thing that can draw us nearer to God is Jesus. That's it. Jesus came and all the sacrifices, all the patterns got thrown out the window. It was no more about those things. Now it was just about trusting in Jesus and having faith in Jesus. And you know, we have positive patterns and we have negative patterns. Anything that is not drawing us nearer to Jesus is a negative pattern. Anything that we're doing day after day in the hopes of gaining some sort of step up in the world that doesn't lead us to Jesus is a negative pattern. And I think that sometimes we're still living as though we need to have some sort of sacrifice for our sins, or we're still living like we're not forgiven. We're still punishing ourselves for some of these patterns that we're holding on to. We're refusing to give up. In Hebrews 10, 15, it says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Think about that for a minute. Think about the way you treat yourself after a binge. Think about the way you feel about yourself after weeks of restricting, when all you've wanted to do is be able to change your pattern, find a way to include 3 meals in your day. Think about the way you treat yourself when you stepped on the scale and you see that you've gained weight. Think about the way you treat yourself when you step on the scale and you see that you've lost weight. When you take your measurements and you see that you're smaller. When you've made it a week without binging, when before it was every other day. When you have eaten 3 meals in the day and you're not restricting, I think there's always room for celebration when we're breaking a negative pattern. But we need to love ourselves regardless of what the patterns are. When it comes to food and our bodies, we need to be very even-keeled, I want to say. We can't hate ourselves for making a negative choice and then love ourselves for making what we decide to be a positive choice. We can't base our worth off of the choices that we're making. We have to base our worth off of our love for Jesus. I had a client ask me recently, how did you end up healing from food and body image issues? How did you really do it? And my response was like, first of all, I'm not fully healed. I'm not going to sit here and say that I never look at myself and thoughts of losing, extra weight don't ever come to my mind, or that I'm 100% pleased with what I see in the mirror and I just love my body every day. That doesn't happen. I don't know when and if I'll ever be there. I have no idea. What I know is that the obsession is gone. The fear around food is gone. It doesn't control me anymore. I can eat and be okay with the choices that I'm making. I don't feed my soul with graham crackers and Chips Ahoy. Those days are gone. The way that I did that was by really focusing on my worth through Jesus. It was an everyday, all day long thing. I remember driving in my car and just forcing myself to smile. Because if you do it right now, like just smile right now, you automatically feel happier. You don't even have to have a reason. You're just like, yeah, I feel a little bit better. I was so down on myself. I was so negative. I so much hated my patterns. I had to force myself to smile, to remind myself that I had something to smile about because I love Jesus. You know, whenever you're feeling so negative and down and just in the gutter about what's going on with your food and your eating and just your life in general, if you smile and remind yourself that you love Jesus, you automatically feel better. It was really owning that. You feel so powerless when you're involved in food obsession, when food rules so much of your life. You feel owned by it. You know, you feel like in chains with it and you can't break free. But that's what Jesus is there for. And it's easy to say, yes, I have faith. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I know that I'm worthy. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm saved. I know that God forgives me. But do you believe it? And so this is what I want to talk about in terms of breaking patterns. Because if you don't truly believe these things, your body and your mind know it. You can't fool yourself. What does it mean to you to actually believe that you are worthy simply because you love Jesus? Think about that. What does that mean for you? What does being worthy mean? It means not having to prove yourself. It means being chosen. It means being accepted, being loved, being seen, you know? So much of what we want in life is to just be seen, to be recognized. We want to know that we count, that our lives matter, that we're not just like floating around, not doing anything. We need to be seen. And when we love Jesus, we are so seen. We are so seen. God is with us all day long, every step of the way, through our positive patterns and our negative patterns. We are very much seen. But we fear being looked at by God. And this is a problem, especially with clearing away negative patterns. Because if you fear God seeing you, you're going to focus more on that than you will on being worthy because you love Jesus. And what is it that you fear? You fear that you're not living up to his standards. You're not living up to his expectations. You're not building the tabernacle according to the pattern. And what I want to remind you is that you don't have to. You're not supposed to be. You don't have to build the tabernacle. You don't have to sacrifice anything anymore. All you need to do is come to Jesus and say, this is something that I'm struggling with. And Jesus will forgive you. He doesn't need to hear the list of reasons why you suck because you're struggling with it. He doesn't see that list. That's your own list. You made that list. God's not up there writing down all the reasons why you are a piece of trash because you are still struggling with your food patterns. He's not like, oh, Jane, she binged again today. Oh, she got into those Oreos. I'm so disappointed in her. First of all, he knew a week ago that you were going to binge today. He knew the day of your birth that you were going to binge today. He knew before you were even born that you were going to binge today. Nothing you're doing is surprising or shocking God. He's all-knowing. You're the one making the judgments on yourself. You're the one creating the fear. You're the one giving into the fear. You don't want to be seen. You don't want your messiness to be seen by God. Well, guess what? It's still being seen. And he really doesn't care about your mess the way you think he cares about it. Yes, he wants you to get rid of this negative pattern. Yes, he wants to heal you. Yes, he wants to make you more holy. Yes, he wants to perfect you. Yes, he wants you to come closer to Jesus, to come closer to him. You know who doesn't want you to do that? Satan. I always feel like some Southern preacher talking about the devil whenever I talk about Satan. Like, I can't almost take myself seriously sometimes. I don't know. Because it's hard to believe. Like, sometimes the devil just seems like such a caricature to me, you know? Like, the horns and the tail and hell and fire and, you know, I don't know. I'm almost scared to believe that something so evil exists. And so I kind of lightly play it up a little bit. But something evil that, like, something that evil does exist. And he's after you every single day, all day long. Be aware of that. Be aware of where your fear is coming from. Be aware of where the negative pattern is coming from. The temptation to give in to the pattern is not coming from God. It is coming from Satan. You have a choice to give in to it or to lean on God. But if you're blinded by fear, if you're so afraid of your mess, if you don't trust God with it, you're going to give into it. Guaranteed. If you don't believe your worth, you will fall into the pattern. You have to believe your worth despite the pattern. You can't let the pattern define you. And this is what so many of you are doing. You're deciding that the pattern is who you are. The pattern speaks volumes about you rather than your love of Jesus. Your love of Jesus speaks volumes about you. Your faith in Jesus Christ is what speaks to God. It is not your negative patterns. God is focused on your faith. He loves you so much because you believe in his son. But you need to be making choices that reflect that belief. Yes, you do. And binging is not a choice that reflects that belief. Worrying about what you ate at the restaurant you went out to last night and refusing to eat the rest of the next day because you had the cheeseburger instead of the salad is not a reflection of faith in Jesus. It's a reflection of a pattern that is self-satisfying. And also self-destructive at the same time. Isn't that crazy that you can have things be the same? You can be self-satisfying and self-destructive at the exact same time. That's Satan. That is so Satan. That is what he's all about. Making you feed yourself, feed yourself, feed yourself. And destroy yourself while you're doing it. And I'm not just talking about feeding yourself physically with food. I mean feeding yourself with anything, with shopping, with sex, with drugs, with alcohol, with poisonous relationships, with too much TV, with laziness, whatever. You know, there's all those sins talked about in the Bible. You know, all of a sudden, of course, I can't think of a single one. What is it? Sloth? Gluttony? I can't remember what all of them are, but That is what Satan is all about. And we give in to those sins all the time. But guess what? We have a Savior. We don't have to follow everything to a T. We're not supposed to. We're human beings. Give yourself a break. Stop beating yourself up because you can't get control of your whack job behaviors. I'm serious. This is a huge part of getting rid of food obsession. Stop beating yourself up over it. That is what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to think you have to prove yourself to yourself. Guess what? You're never going to be able to do that because you're always going to be a mess. Can you own that? Can you own the fact that you're always going to be a mess somewhere? If it's not with your food, it's going to be with your work. If it's not with your work, it's going to be with your marriage. If it's not with your marriage, it's going to be with your kids. If it's not with your kids, it's going to be with your relationships. If it's not with your relationships, it's going to be with your style. I mean, I don't know, but we're not perfect. There's always going to be messiness somewhere going on. The idea is to not worry about the mess, but to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let Jesus worry about the mess. That's what he says. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Give me your yoke, right? Give me your troubles. Let me carry it. Because my burden is light. He can handle it. He's perfect. He's got no issues. Give him your issues. The man took on all of our sin on the cross at once. That's like a kajillion times more sin than you could ever have in your life. He can handle your food obsession. He can deal with it. Who was up there on the cross next to him? Wasn't there like a murderer right next to him who started to believe in him? And he's like, you're going to enter the kingdom with me. You're coming with me, dude. A murderer, like, that's a bigger burden to carry than someone who just can't stop eating a tub of ice cream at night. But we make it so big. We make these patterns so important to us. That's part of the selfishness of it. The pity party. The pity potty. You're on it. You got to get off it. You got to own what you're doing without judging yourself. And this is the part that's hard because you kind of want to hold on to it. You kind of like being on the pity potty because it's a way you're seen. It's easier to make a negative choice than it is to make a positive choice more often than not. You know this pattern. You trust this pattern. What's God going to do? What pattern is he going to give you to follow? Are you going to be able to handle it? You think, can I build the tabernacle that he's going to give me to build? If I don't have this food obsession, what do I have instead? What replaces this issue? I'm going to tell you what that is. It's Jesus. That's it. It's not another pattern. You don't have to build a tabernacle. It's just Jesus. All that's going to happen is you're going to get closer to God. Is that so bad? What's wrong with that? Don't you want that? You're so afraid of getting closer to God because you're afraid that he's going to see you. You're afraid that you're going to be expected now to act even more holy, and you're missing it. You're not getting the point of Jesus. The point is not for you to come cleansed already to God, perfected already to God. It is not your job. Your job is to come as a pile of dirt. Your job is to come as a mess and leave the rest to God. It's okay to have those negative patterns. What's not okay is to beat yourself up over them and expect that you're the one that has to solve them. I want to talk about how crazy the body is for a minute. Your mind and your body do not want to let go of your negative patterns around your food. It's quite comfortable with it. It knows it. Change is not something that we adjust to well. So how do we break free from these things? It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to sit here and say, oh, I want to stop binging. And then you just stop. If that were the case, you would have already stopped long ago. Well, I want to stop restricting. No, it's not like you wake up and a magic wand has been waved and all your food issues are gone. This takes dedication. It takes focus. It takes love. The first thing, the main thing this takes, honestly, is love for yourself. You have got to love yourself. And that is so hard, especially when we're in the midst of these choices that don't make us feel good, both physically and mentally, right? God still loves us, no different. He doesn't love us any less because you binged yesterday, right? He's not thinking, well, I'm starting to get really sick of her binging. I don't know if I really want to keep her as a chosen child of mine anymore. That's not how God is. He's the same always and forever. He's never changing. It's you. You don't love yourself regardless of your choices. You have standards for yourself. And if you don't meet those standards, you restrict your love. Can't do that. Cannot do that. This is a self-love journey. This is not about just healing your food issues, healing your body image issues. This is about healing your negative self-belief issues. This is about healing your rules that you insist you live up to in order to love yourself. That's what this is about. This is about loving yourself in spite of your flaws. Whoa, there's a concept. Holy scary, huh? How can you love yourself in spite of your flaws when nobody else will? Well, that's the whole reason why you need to. Because the world is not going to love you in spite of your flaws. That's never going to happen. I don't care how thin you are, how thin you get, how perfect your eating is. I don't care if you have the best relationship with food in the world. You're not going to get the world to accept you in spite of your flaws. It's always going to judge you because it's ruled by the devil. Your job as a follower of Jesus Christ is to love yourself as Jesus loves you. Jesus talks about love so much in the Bible. And we always think about that for other people. Oh, I need to love other people more. I need to accept other people more. I think, like, for a lot of people, we love our neighbors more than we even love ourselves. You know, Jesus says, love thy neighbor. Are you loving yourself? Not really. This is a self-love issue. So let's talk about ways that you can love yourself instead of diving into the negative pattern. An example that I gave to my client, well, it wasn't an example, it was more of a suggestion. You have to find things that make you happy. Food makes you happy. If it didn't, you wouldn't eat it. If food didn't make you happy, you wouldn't binge on it. There's something about the binge that you enjoy. There's something about the binge that comforts you, that feels secure, that you trust, that is a constant. This is one of the things that I have another client, she always says to me, I know the food will always be there for me. What about yourself? Can you always be there for yourself? Now, maybe right now you can't. But it's something that needs to be worked on. You need to be able to rely on yourself, to trust yourself. Now, circumstances, things that have happened in our past, the way people have treated us, have made us doubt ourselves. We don't believe in ourselves anymore. We don't like ourselves because we've been told certain lies, stories that we've chosen to believe over what Jesus says about who we are. And this is the work that needs to be done. You've got to start believing who Jesus says you are, not who the world says you are. The things that you believe about yourself, the negative stories that you are giving into are not true. You think that you're fat. You think that you're ugly. You think that you are boring. You think that you are stupid. You think that you are lazy. Someone told you that about yourself, and you decided to believe it. And what does Jesus say about you? You're chosen. You're loved. You're worthy. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of the King. I mean, those are jewels, man. Those are huge things to say about a person. And the only person that matters is the one saying it, Jesus. Got to get your eyes off the false stories that you've been believing about yourself, and you have to start taking on who Jesus says you are. How do you do that? You have to start gaining some trust in yourself. Because it's easy to say, I have faith in Jesus. But you have to practice that faith, see? You can say it till the cows come home, but if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. It's easy to say, I know that God loves me. But if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. How do you know that God loves you? Because you love yourself. You accept God's love by accepting who you are. That is radical. That is mind-blowing. Accept who I am? What? Are you crazy? No way. I can't do that. I don't like myself. Well, Jesus loves you. Jesus accepts you. What are you saying to Jesus if you can't accept yourself and he does? You're telling him that you know better. I know better than you, Jesus. I'm not worth being accepted. Would you ever say that to God? If God was standing right in front of you and he said, I love you and I accept you just as you are in this moment today. would you turn to him and say, no, you can't accept me. Sorry, I'm a mess. Well, that's what you're saying to him when you don't accept yourself as you are, with all your flaws and all your messiness and your weirdo-ness and your strangeness. And I know you don't want to be saying that to God. How you turn that around is by gaining some more self-trust, creating a new pattern to follow. You've been following the negative pattern, the pity potty pattern. Let's start a new pattern. So here's an example. Things that make you happy. Something that is not food related. I suggested to my client, she said, it was obvious like in our conversation that she really needed some more time to herself. She's got kids and family and husband and all this stuff going on. And so she doesn't get a lot of time to herself. And time to ourselves is very important. Sometimes we get afraid of the time to ourselves because we're nervous with what we're going to do with that time. But if we know how we're going to fill that time, it's easier. So I recommended to her, she gets fearful at night that she's going to end up binging, especially if she's had a big meal. And we're working on the hunger and getting used to feeling hungry and full and what does that all feel like. But sometimes she does get to a point where she's a little more full than she would like to be, and she's not comfortable with that feeling. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you feel like you ate maybe a little bit too much, and rather than just be like, okay, I ate a little bit too much and in 20 minutes I'll be fine, I'm not going to be uncomfortable, you're like, oh, well, if I've already eaten this much, I might as well go have some more cookies. I might as well go have some ice cream now, right? Like you feel the binge coming on because you're feeling in your stomach uncomfortable. So what we came up with was that when she would get that feeling, rather than go and begin the binge, she would go to her room and take 5 minutes to stretch. And what this does is a few things. We have to learn to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We kind of know this, we don't want to admit it, but it's true. Got to learn to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And part of being uncomfortable is being overly full. This is what happens if you eat too much food. You get full. And there's different levels of fullness. And sometimes you can just be a little too full. Then other times you're like so full you need to unbutton your pants. Other times you're so full you feel sick, right? I'm talking about that uncomfortable full where you're just sort of like, you're not quite at the point where you need to unbutton your pants, but you definitely know that you've had a meal. This can be a trigger to your brain of time to binge. You got to stop that trigger. Got to create a new trigger. The only way you're going to create a new trigger is by doing something different. First thing you got to do is get used to being comfortable with that feeling, because what's going on is your body recognizes that your brain is not comfortable with being that amount of full. It recognizes it and says, oh, Sally's full again. We don't like being full. We need to go binge now. We might as well. We've already gone over our limit. Let's just finish this off. Let's go pig out. Rather than, okay, I'm a little full, and I know that if I give myself 15, 20 minutes, I'll have digested more of this food, and I won't feel this way anymore. All that's happening is you're just a little full. If you take a step back, remove the emotion from it. All that's happening is physically, you're just a little full. Big deal. Your body's going to digest the food. Move on, right? But if that kind of fullness has been the signal to you to begin the negative pattern of binging, then that's what you're going to do unless you start changing the trigger. So the first thing is to stop it from being a trigger in the first place. And you do that by de-triggering it. And you do that by learning to get comfortable with it. And you do that by getting yourself busy doing something that is fulfilling to you while you're waiting for the feeling to go away. Not focusing on the feeling, not sitting there thinking, oh God, I just can't wait for this to go away. I'm so uncomfortable. I just want to go eat. I feel so fat. I feel so gross. Why did I eat all that food? I'm not eating tomorrow. I feel so horrible. I got to go work out more. Not thinking all that garbage, but going and finding something that is loving to yourself. Because right now, in this moment, when you've got this feeling, you're experiencing anxiety. That's what all that is. You're experiencing discomfort and anxiety, unpleasantness. You have to associate that feeling with something comfortable, something soothing, something that's okay, that is not more food. So my client, she's going to go and stretch. What's it going to be for you? What are you going to go do while you wait for your food to digest? What's something that you can do that would be nice for yourself? And I understand everyone's got busy lives. Not everyone can take 5 minutes to go and stretch. So what's something else? Can you go light a candle in your living room and just smell it for a few minutes? And send a prayer? Can you do that? Candles are so, like scent and candles, they're so healing. I always light candles and I always listen to music. Those are two things I try to do every day because they really help with my anxiety. Go listen to some music. Turn on some music somewhere. Just sit and chill out. If that doesn't work for you, sometimes maybe just giving your little baby a bath if you've got a baby. If you don't have a baby, borrow somebody else's baby. Get a doll. Bathe the doll. Take your dog for a walk. Go put on some makeup. Go take off your makeup. I don't know. Find something. Start a new pattern that involves loving yourself. Not tearing yourself down. You have to build new pathways in your brain. You have to give your brain something else, another option outside of what you've been feeding it. It needs to have an opportunity to make a different choice. And if you don't have yourself prepared with another option, it's not even going to think of something. It's going to go right to the old tried and true, the binge. You got to get comfortable with that feeling of fullness, and you have to find something else to do instead of eating. Now, if you want to keep eating beyond being full, that's fine. You can do that. All that's going to happen is you're just going to get even more full. The point here is not to find something to do to make you feel like you're restricting yourself from the binge, if that makes sense. Because if you feel as though you're restricting yourself from anything, you're going to want to do it even more. That's rebellion. That's the rebellious nature in us. That's why when you don't eat food for several days, you end up binging because you just can't help it. It's not your fault that you're binging. Even if you're mentally restricting the food, right? If you're having a normal day and you're just sort of like going about eating and you're proud of yourself because you had breakfast and you had lunch and you had dinner and you had some snacks in between and you feel like you made like quote unquote healthy choices, if you're still in your mind feeling like you're restricting yourself from other choices that you see as quote unquote bad, you're going to binge on those bad choices eventually. It will happen. Guarantee it. Because you haven't made these foods okay. You haven't made all your foods free. That's what food freedom is. It's making all foods available to you. Nothing is off limits. And you can eat as much or as little as you want. You can. You can make that choice. The difference between binging and just eating more is that binging is an out of control, very like otherworldly type choice. And what I mean by otherworldly is you're not really in a very mindful state when you're binging. You know what you're doing, but you're just all about the binge. You can't seem to stop. It's just, you just can't get enough food. You've got to keep getting more and more and more. And what are you going to eat next? It's just shoveling it in versus just overeating where you're like, yeah, I'm full, but this tastes really good and I'm going to keep eating it. You know, I definitely have nights where like I'll have dinner and then for some reason I just can't really stop snacking until I go to bed, even though I'm not hungry and it's on junk. But I don't go to bed mad at myself. I don't go to bed feeling like I failed, feeling like, oh, I gave in to that binge again, because it wasn't a binge. It was just me eating. And that's the difference. Having a positive relationship with food is not, oh, I make healthy choices 90% of the time, and then 10% of the time, I'll indulge. That's not a healthy relationship with food. That's still a controlled relationship with food. That's still a I watch what I eat relationship with food. Now, you may think, I want to watch what I eat. You don't have to watch what you eat when you're listening to your body. That's the whole point here. Your body knows what it wants. And 90% of the time, your body will want healthy foods. Maybe it'll be 80%. Maybe it'll be 70%. Everybody's different. The point is this. You crave the junk food because you're restricting it and because you're stressed. You got to stop restricting it. And you need to find new ways to deal with stress. You're always going to have stress. Food makes us feel better. I definitely eat chocolate when I'm not feeling that great, for sure. The difference is I don't eat an insane amount of it now. Because I have a positive relationship with it. I have a positive pattern now with food. But it took time to build that. And it's going to take time to build it. And it starts by making new choices without feeling like you're restricting yourself from the old ones. So if you decide you're going to go wash your baby, or you're going to walk the dog, or you're going to wash your makeup off, or you're going to go stretch or light a candle or whatever it is you're going to do for the 5 minutes that you are just going to walk away and let yourself be a little over full or very over full, however over full you are. Don't think of it as I'm doing this to keep myself from binging. You don't want to think of it that way because then you're going to be feeling restricted. You want to think of it more as, I'm doing this and then I can go binge if I want to. Because you can. You can totally go binge after those 5 minutes. And you might. The point is to not beat yourself up over it. The point is to just notice it, to just say, yep, I just did that. There's that pattern coming around again. It's not your soul. It's not your worth making the choice here. It's a negative behavior that you have just gotten accustomed to, that your body is used to doing, that your mind is used to engaging in. And all you're trying to do is come up with a new pattern. Notice that. But don't beat yourself up if you still participate in the old pattern. Okay, so you binged. Big deal. It happens. Move on. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop thinking that you're a piece of garbage. You're not. I'm telling you, you are not. You have permission to start liking yourself again. I'm giving you that permission. You have permission to start loving yourself again. I'm giving you that permission. Take it. Patterns. Jesus is the new pattern. Get your eyes off yourself. Get them back on Jesus. And figure out the Jesus pattern. Figure out your Jesus pattern. What is it? It's love, forgiveness, hope, endurance, kindness, faith, grace, joy, peace. It's nothing but good stuff. Give yourself the good stuff, baby. You deserve it. That's what God has for you. That is the Jesus pattern, the good stuff. The pattern of the world is icky. It's no bueno. And yet we keep going to it. We allow it to define us. I do it all the time. And this is the other thing. This is why it's so important to recognize that the food issues are so much more than the food issues. Because if you just woke up and didn't have food issues anymore, like if you just prayed them away and they were there no longer, you'd still have you issues. Right? You would. You have to heal the you issues in order to heal the food issues. They go hand in hand. Now, you will get rid of the food issues way faster than you will the you issues. So there's maybe a bit of good news for some of you. I don't know. I mean, I'm still pretty broken, but I don't have the same amount of food issues as I did before. I mean, that's the thing. You're always going to be on a journey to heal yourself because you're human. You're broken and you're going to be broken until the day you die. But the point is that you're going to grow so much as you work on overcoming the food stuff. Your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with yourself is going to blossom. It's going to just become so much more beautiful. Be open to that. Be excited by that. Look forward to that. Don't be afraid of it. It's a good thing. I promise you. It's such a good thing. You enjoy your life more when you love yourself. And if that's too hard to even imagine, just liking yourself.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopek, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.courtneykopek.com. Have a blessed day. I feel the changes.